Right, this didn't come together, quite as smoothly as I'd like, so it's almost too many exhorts on the same topic. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily our bread, and forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I chose hymn 3. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Give somebody an inch, and they'll take a mile. That somebody can be ourselves, especially when dealing with temptation. I know for me, one piece of chocolate means a whole block of chocolate. But what is temptation? What does it lead to? Sin. What is sin? Understanding them can help us overcome them. And thank you to Esau for having a very comprehensive list that I've trimmed down greatly. Temptation. Masor. A testing of men, of God, temptation, trial. Occurs 5 times. Pages. A trap. A trick, stratagem, temptation, snare, also 5 times. Perasmos, a putting to proof by experiment of good, experience of evil, solicitation, discipline by provocation, by implication, adversity, temptation. That occurs 21 times. Now sin has a huge list, let's read a couple. Patior, to trip, to err, to fall, offend, stumble. I'll just skip the words, I can't quite get my tongue around some of these. A stumbling, figuratively and concretely. Occasion of sin, a side slip, a lapse, an unintentional error, or a willful transgression. Form, a fault, offence, sin, trespass. To be a bad doer, to injure, to drag forth, that is figuratively to entice to sin, to draw away. Now the most common one, which wasn't the most helpful for definition, is hamartia. The definition of that is sin, proper abstract offence, sinful. That occurs 174 times. And there are a few others that are very similar, but this one I like is hamartano, tano, properly to miss the mark. And then again, to err, especially morally, to depart from the right ways, to stray, to mistake, to deceive, ignorance, to stray, moral rebellion, religious rebellion, transgression, perversity, mischief, falsehood, transgression, soiled, hypocrite, and lastly, an offence. Many people say sin is our biggest obstacle, and it covers a multitude of things, as we've just seen. But I believe temptation is. Sin is just the bad fruit of temptation. Some of us add, as Mark mentioned a few weeks ago, some of us add safeguards to things that we do. So I know some people remove themselves completely from temptation, such as buying a slow car, installing an internet nanny, making sure we only have enough money on our card to do what we need to do, keep company with people who encourage us to do the right thing, and many more. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, what are the results of temptation, of us giving into it? Sin. Fear, pain, and death. It starts very early on in the Bible, Genesis 3:16. To the woman he said, I'll make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labour you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Skipping ahead, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you'll eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you'll eat plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you'll eat food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken for dust. From it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Are the results eternal death, disappointment to those around us, disappointment with ourselves? Most importantly, God having to sacrifice his son and the bread and wine which are now before us. Sometimes we are tempted to do a good deed, but the fear of the unknown can stop us. James 4:17. If anyone then knows they ought to do the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. What tempts us can be controlled with a number of tools. We just need to sort out what works for us personally. Such as in my first exhort I gave here, confessing your sins to someone who you trust, then they can keep you in check and hold you accountable. We cannot do it under our own strength. We must learn to rely on God and the resources he has provided for us. And mainly, the most relevant one for us is a Christ-centered community. We can redirect our focus. One example is to acknowledge the temptation. If you think, oh man, this is difficult, don't know what to do, think of one of the first definitions of temptation, masor, a testing of men, temptation trial. Just think, I'm being tested by God, I'm under the microscope, and I like making metaphors about car-related things. Just think of your daily driving, how much tighter, self-controlled and patient we were when we were sitting our test with a driving instructor sitting next to us, looking for our faults so they can fail our license. Except we're lucky our teacher wants us to pass. Isn't the tests God puts us through of far more weight? The results of failing isn't not getting a license, but eternal death. Luckily we get unlimited amount of resets as long as we're genuinely sorry for what we have committed. James 1:12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 1:2-3. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, while we are in these trying, tempting moments, the willing spirit and the weak flesh are fighting each other. We need to remember what we should be focusing on. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And the carrot at the end of the stick for us to chase while in temptation is the crown of life. It's a bit more important than a license. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tired he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. If this is always at the front of our minds, we ask God for strength, get others to hold us accountable, see it as a chance to grow, a chance to prove ourselves worthy, and treat it as a test, we can get our weak flesh on the path of the willing spirit. some other important verses that we should keep in our minds for daily battles. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. A little side note, which came into mind, couldn't find where to put it in this exhort. Not holding on to grudges against people who have sinned against us is essential. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Truth, readiness, righteousness, faith, salvation. Now, pop quiz, what are those part of? No? You can see the steam coming out the ears. Yes, I see someone mouthing it. The armour of God. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand up to the wiles of the devil. It is with faith we strive for righteousness, working consistently on our readiness by fighting temptation, knowing that salvation is our reward. Now I'm just going to read that part of Ephesians 6. It's quite poetic. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rules and against authorities, against powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, stand up with the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Some other thoughts on temptation. Temptation does not come from God, but from our own sinful desires. As James 1:13 onwards, then no one say who is tempted. I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away from by his own desires and enticed. When the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when full grown, brings death. You cannot have both God and your sinful desire. No one can serve two masters, either, for he will hate the one and love the other. When you are faced with temptation, run the other direction. As 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. James 4:7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Prayer strengthens us against temptation. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Indeed, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Meet temptation with God's word. Matthew 4:1-4. When Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert, he was by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. As mentioned earlier, God will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability to resist. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Don't be discouraged when you are faced with temptations. God is doing his work in you. James 1, verse 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Romans 13, 13 and 14, let us walk as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The battle begins in our minds. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All of our minds are flooded with temptations. What can we do when temptation comes to mind? We can think heavenly things. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Love holds back sin and pushes us to do what is right. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That's 2 Corinthians 5:14. Jesus knows what we're going through, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Strength. We need to identify the strength that is our own weakness. And he said, 2 Corinthians 12, 19, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We need to keep God's word close to our hearts. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Be vigilant in these last days, as temptations and snares are only increasing. Luke 21:34-36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of life, that the day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray, that you will be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. We need to remember those who do not yield into temptation will be rewarded. As I've read many times before, James 1:2, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, while I was procrastinating, as is common for me, I found some interesting quotes. Temptation usually comes through a door that has been deliberately left open. I don't know who wrote that one. A man called John Piper says, sin gets its power by persuading me to believe that I will be happier if I follow it. The power of all temptation is at the prospect that it will make me happier. One by a man called Billy Sunday. Temptation is the devil looking through the keyhole. Yielding is opening the door and inviting him in. And another unknown, temporary happiness isn't worth long-term pain. We need to set our minds on Christ. Now I've got a few more quotes. Romans 7:23. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee from your youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now we need to pray in temptation. This might sound like a cliche, but how do we actually do that? Do we just stop and start praying? Or I think we need to remove ourselves from what is tempting us and then go and pray for strength. If you pray in that situation, and you're still in that situation, I can't imagine that it will accomplish much. Now, delivery in temptation is in 2 Peter 2:9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Now, as we all know, we're meant to be in the world, not of the world. 1 Timothy 6:9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. Now some uncategorized quotes. Can a man sweep fire onto his lap without his clothes being burned? It's Proverbs 6:27. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. As I mentioned earlier, temptations are not meant to be fought alone. Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. So what are the results of this temptation? Nothing. If we give in to it, there will be sin, fear, pain, death, eternal death, disappointment to those around us, disappointment with ourselves, God having to sacrifice his Son and the bread and wine that's before us. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Why are we here together? We are here to remember our key to eternal life that has been given to us because of falling into temptation. To remember our Saviour who is tempted in all the ways we are, but overcame that temptation as we also strive to do.